And good morning. Welcome to Health Essentials. Let me go ahead and give out the phone number to the radio station. If you want to call and ask a question, please feel free to do so. I always find those fun and interesting. The phone number is 903-589-8507. If nobody calls, I want to return to the topic that I think I brought up maybe 2 weeks ago concerning salt. And I'm always just so fascinated trying to, you know, look at this from every possible angle. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines first. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. My husband has a kidney stone. What do we do?
Stop eating foods that make the kidney stone form.
Such as?
Well, how much sugar does he consume?
More than he should.
Well, then that would be a starting point, but have you been to the doctor to ask him what his plan is or her plan to remove the kidney
stone?
Well,
he was hurting real bad Thursday morning, and he was in the emergency room, and they said it was a small kidney stone. So it will bother him for a while, and then he's walking and drinking a lot of water.
Okay.
And then it gets better.
Well, if I had a small kidney stone that had sharp spikes and needles all over like a grass burr, I think I'd be in pain too.
Right.
Okay, well, let me give you some ideas, and this probably comes closer to your answer. There is a mineral found in nature called magnesium. I think that when somebody... So if you go to the doctor and said, could you please measure my serum magnesium levels? If you want to prevent kidney stones, you kind of need that number to be about 2.4 or above. 2.4, 2.5, 2.6. Because under those circumstances, that's going to help prevent calcium from forming to what are called oxalates. If I'm not mistaken, easily the vast majority of all kidney stones are made of a substance called calcium oxalate. And so you get oxalates when you eat spinach, almonds. You ever heard of almond butter?
Yes.
When you eat white potatoes, mushrooms, those are all really, really high in oxalates. There's a sweetener that I just do not care for. I think you're asking for kidney stone problems. It's called stevia.
No.
Does he consume any of those things that I just mentioned?
White potatoes.
Okay, so it may be that he just can't break down oxalic acid, and they're binding with calcium to form stones. I don't think all the grass burrs are formed yet, but isn't it annoying when you walk through the grass and the grass burrs stick to your pants or your legs?
It is.
I bet you, how many grass burrs have you pulled off in your lifetime?
A bunch,
yeah, probably like 30 zillion. So that's what kidney stones kind of look like. So magnesium is one of the ways that you kind of help prevent stones from forming in the first place. You're just trying to find out, how can I get my levels up to where they're really good? But sugar is one thing that interferes with all that. So if he could reduce, if he got his sugar from like watermelon, I don't think I'd complain. See, there's probably
a
remedy.
What about milk?
Well, milk is going to be a source of calcium. I don't normally have a problem if the milk is raw, but if it's been pasteurized and homogenized, that's where I start seeing problems along the urinary tract. Or there's actually a lot of research that demonstrates if a man has prostate problems or maybe prone to prostate cancer, milk is probably not what you want to put in the body because it may stimulate, you know, worsening of a prostate problem. Does that make sense?
It does. Well, he's drinking plenty of water. What else can we do to get that stone out besides walk and drink plenty of water?
Well, you know what the old school remedy was?
What?
They would take 2 heaping tablespoons of Epsom salt, which is called magnesium sulfate, and they would stir it in a glass of water or juice, and they would drink it down, and the idea or the theory behind it is it causes those ureters to open up and dilate where you can pass a stone and it can just roll right out of you. I'm not
Did
saying
you say
that
2 heaping teaspoons
table
tablespoons.
Yes, ma'am. That's like
okay.
A tablespoon would be 3 teaspoons. So if you get two big honking tablespoons, that's going to be a lot of. But the purpose is to flush that out or help it to relax. One rancher told me that if his cows have kidney stones, he pours whiskey into their trough, and that's enough to relax them to where they can pass them. Wait, did I just recommend your husband drink a shot of whiskey so he can pass his kidney stones? It's for medicinal purposes. It's not for any other reason.
There you go.
But that's what people used to do 100 years ago. So okay. I would say, and I know it's not exactly the right time of the year, but if we had watermelons in season, and he said, you know what, all I'm going to do is just fast today, and I'm just going to eat watermelon, and I'm going to eat the seeds, man, there's a chance that he'd pass the kidney stone right away.
Okay.
You know what the herbal, you have a garden full of watermelons?
No.
The herbal remedy has always been called gravel root. So if you had gravel root, that's been the time-tested, time-honored, safe remedy for kidney stones. Gravel root.
Okay, how would he take gravel root?
Well, if he went to a health food store and they had it in a liquid form, he'd take it in a liquid form. If it was in the capsule form, he'd take it that way. If it was in a tablet form, he'd take it that way. But most likely, I've usually seen the preparations preserved in an alcohol tincture, so it'd be the liquid form. So he'd just take like a couple of dropperfuls and put it in a glass of water, probably 3 or 4 times a day.
Just a minute, 2 or 3 times a day.
A dropperful is probably going to be, you know, the glass pipette. You got that little big black rubber bulb on the top of it where you squeeze it. And you're drawing the gravel root up into the glass pipette. That's probably 70 drops, I'm guessing. So 2 of those, 2 to 3, 4 times a day.
Okay. All right. That gives us something to go on.
All righty. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you, Dr. Murray. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. All right, let's officially talk about salt just for a brief moment. And I realize this can be one of the most confusing topics of all time. I saw a gentleman the other day. Let me think, how old was he? I don't know. He's either 85, 87, 88. If I've missed it, I didn't miss it by more than a month or two. But he's telling me that he's been to all these physicians. He doesn't know what he's going to do. He's losing his balance. He's dizzy. I mean, have you ever been dizzy before? That's kind of a miserable feeling. If everybody says, hey, let's go for a walk at the park, you're going, I can't. I'm dizzy. I feel like I can't maintain my body in against gravity. I feel like I'm going to lose my balance and fall over. So, to make a long story short, after seeing multiple physicians and going to multiple laboratories for testing, they couldn't come up with anything. Now, I took a different view, and I don't remember exactly what the sodium levels were, but sodium is actually the primary extracellular electrolyte, which means its rightful place in the body is to take up or set up shop just outside of a cell. So let's say you have a liver cell or a muscle cell or a brain cell. You want to make sure that your body has adequate or optimal amounts of the electrolyte, the electrically charged mineral, sodium. If you want to say salt, that's fine by me. But unless you have enough salt or sodium, then you're going to have problems. So what would be one of the most common effects of lacking sodium? Well, you feel weak and tired. That's pretty common. Probably the same is true for the other another electrolyte called chloride. Now, the main electrolyte that belongs inside of your cells, oh, that's called potassium. I always thought it was brilliant when somebody would take a watermelon and sprinkle some salt on it. Now, that's smart folks. If I was working out in the field all day long and it was hot and I had lost a lot of my sodium through perspiration, I'd say, oh my goodness, this watermelon with salt is a genius remedy. I like it very much. So this gentleman is just telling me he doesn't know how he's going to be able to make it. He feels so weak. He's exhausted. He's dizzy all the time. And so when I look at his blood test, I want to say the sodium, I can't even remember now what the number was. Can I just make up a number? Can I say 134? And I said, oh my goodness, there's potentially a pretty big issue that we can't look beyond. And I think I'd be foolish if I didn't look at that level and say, that's a lot less. See, people that live a long time, usually their sodium levels between a blood on a blood test would be between 140 and 144. That's just kind of like the Goldilocks just right range. Now, if that number was a whole lot higher, like 150, you're going to have problems. Those would be the rare people that you don't want to give more salt to. But that's not the vast majority of the population. And so usually you're pretty healthy and you're in good working order when your sodium levels on your blood test are between the number 140 and 144. But if it's below 140, well, the lower it gets, you're going to start to have issues. So in his case, it was just exhaustion and dizziness. You know, like almost like a vertigo. Anyway, so I tested him. He tested low for salt or sodium. We tried to come up with just a very simple way to resolve that. And I think his kidneys needed some assistance in trying to get them back in good repair. The daughter told me a week later that all his issues are 100% resolved, as in 100%. No more dizziness. And I thought, well, after four neurologists and four trips to the ER and four medical visits, I mean, come on. Sometimes it's easy like that. Never underestimate giving the body what it needs to see if it can serve you the way that you want to. Okay, so I came across this very brief study right here. I want to read it to you. It says, one side effect of a low-salt diet, which is probably what the vast majority of Americans are on. I mean, they're just scared. They're terrified that if they put salt on their food, or they eat food that has a little bit of salt as part of it, it's just terrifying to them. I don't get that. I just don't. Talk about misplaced fear. Now, maybe that fear should be more towards sugar and alcohol and cigarettes and drugs and, you know, rough lifestyles, but salt, I just don't know that I want to call salt the villain, especially if it's natural, unprocessed, you know, unrefined, clean, wholesome, free of toxins, sea salt. Are you with me on that? Okay, here's the article. One side effect of a low-salt diet that is seen in almost every population is that they suffer from reduced energy and increased fatigue. I think that's just two sides of the same coin, right? So, consider the findings of the Trial of Antihypertensive Interventions and Management. That's called the TAME study. The Trial of Antihypertensive, that means blood pressure, interventions and management. Okay, here it is right here. A multi-center, randomized, placebo-controlled clinical trial that evaluated 9 different combinations of diet and medications for the treatment of mild hypertension. Okay? It says the average change in sodium intake in the TAME study was, they took the people and they went from an average of 3,128 milligrams of sodium a day. You know, they tried to measure what they were consuming. And they talked them into going down to about 2,484 milligrams per day. This was after 6 months. All right? So they were able to convince people that you've got to reduce your sodium or your salt. Okay, this reduction of over 600 milligrams per day was found to cause worsening, and just listen to this. And as you listen to this, just ask yourself, does any of this apply to you? Or do you know someone, maybe a mother, a father, a relative, a grandparent? Just ask yourself if any of this applies to them. So just by reducing sodium by 600 milligrams over 6 months, they found that it caused a worsening of fatigue. That's the last thing that I want to experience, is low energy. You got to have energy, folks, to make your body work right. And plus, isn't it worth it to find a way to keep your body in good working order so you don't have to go to the hospital all the time or the ER because you feel horrible? So it worsened their fatigue. That's no bueno. They all developed sleep disturbances. Maybe there's a clue in here somewhere. Maybe there's a takeaway that everyone listening to the program this morning can start to think, you know what? My sleep is rotten. I wonder if maybe I, Dr. Morgan, have issues with sodium. Okay, so worsening fatigue, sleep disturbances developed. What that means is broken sleep. Who wants to wake up in the morning and go, oh, rats, I don't want to go to work today, or I don't want to go to school, or I don't want to go to church in the morning because I feel so exhausted, my sleep was rotten. The other big one they noticed, and I'm not going to dwell on this topic, but just let me cover it briefly. The men that reduced the sodium, they all had erectile dysfunction. Now, I'm getting off of that, but I just want you to know that sodium, it may actually have a tremendous role to play in the health of your body that maybe nobody else has really covered with you before. So in other words, when you reduce salt or you go on a salt-restricted diet, well, that could drastically reduce the quality of your life. Now tell me the truth. You like feeling good, don't you? Yeah, I do too. Isn't it worth it to feel good all day long? I'm not saying put yourself at risk of having major issues. And when I say sodium or salt, you already know I'm biased on that. I want unrefined salt, the kind that looks like it's dirty, but it's been tested not to be dirty. Let me see, what else did it say? Get this right here. 25% of the people in that study, they convinced them that you've got to reduce your salt even more, down to 1,610 milligrams a day. And you know what that did? They had twice the complaints of great fatigue. And it said that more than one out of three patients, they had such fatigue that they couldn't get up off the couch and do anything. Now listen to this right here. This is like a side note. Have you ever heard of a syndrome known as chronic fatigue syndrome? Well, I would not wish that on anyone. I don't know of anyone that I would like to say, hey, why don't we make you so exhausted that you can't accomplish anything? Well, we have a phone call, and phone calls are so much more important. Let's go to the phone line. Well, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a question for you about something called POTS.
Yes, ma'am.
My granddaughter has been diagnosed with this, and she's in her early 20s, and I'm wondering what information you have that could help me with that.
Did she have mono?
No, she didn't mention that.
Has she been tested for Epstein-Barr?
No.
Okay, that would be a starting point. So how? When's the last time that she was completely normal and she felt like $1 million and she could function at a high level?
So this has been going on about a year.
Okay.
And she started, she was 20 years old. She started just fainting at different times.
So she could just be standing up, minding her own business at church, and she would just kind of black out and faint, right?
Yes.
Oh, dear. Hope she hadn't hurt herself.
No, she didn't. She's over the past year, she's fainted 3 or 4 times.
How much energy does she have?
Very little.
Well, see, and that's
there for a while, she just, she couldn't go to work. She couldn't do, she was very discouraged. So they did a test to determine this. I forget what the test was called, but they laid her down and set her up immediately.
And then the heart began to race.
Oh, yes.
Well, she has a combination of a whole bunch of moving parts. Can I just tell you from my experience what I find over and over again?
Okay.
Okay, the reason I ask if she's been tested to have what's called Epstein-Barr virus, it's not because I just want to throw something out for you to spend a lot of money on a test for, but if I had to choose one way where we could wreck the health totally of a 20-year-old woman, it'd be her getting an infection of Epstein-Barr. It's kind of a close cousin to what would be called mononucleosis or getting a case of mono. Most people know when they have mono because they go, I can't get out of bed. I'm too exhausted. I won't be going to school today because it's pretty.
Right.
But as far as you know, she's never had a case of mono, right?
As far as I know.
Okay, well.
No.
All right.
Stop
so
mentioning that.
That's one or two things that I would look for. So if the doctors do like a routine blood test, it's called a CBC with a differential that stands for complete blood count. If her white blood cell count is coming in at 5.7 or below on the white blood cell count, then that would be one clue that she may have some type of chronic low-grade infection. And then you look down to the type of a white blood cell called a monocyte. When that's 10 or above, that's strongly suggested that she's got a viral infection. And it may be what's called a low-grade viral infection. But we just have to find out where is it located. Because, okay, can I be crude just for a second? If she has a viral infection, what if it's affecting the autonomic nervous system that regulates her heart and her change in blood pressure when she changes position, energy production? If she does, all it's doing is just stealing all of her resources. They're like parasites. And then it's releasing its waste directly into her body. I'm not going to say that the virus is going tee-tee and poo-poo inside of her, but wait, I just did. Never mind. But you've got to look at those things. And so we need to look at this with a completely different set of eyes or a different lens, because if all we're going to do is treat her by saying, well, she doesn't have, you know, advanced glioblastoma, and she doesn't have, like, heart failure, and her liver's not, you know, in cirrhosis, I don't think that's the right way to look at it. I think we need to discover where she has her main weaknesses, but I would venture a guess that the adrenal glands are probably one of the biggest hits that I find over and over and over again when it comes to somebody having postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And unless you address why the adrenals aren't working right, I mean, here's what you haven't told me. What major stress did she have in her life right before this hit? What event? Probably something.
Okay. Yeah, maybe so.
Okay, well, is everything perfectly fine prior to this?
Well, she went to school.
Okay.
She graduated. She, you know, went to her college. It seemed to hit all of a sudden. Now, if she has some type of virus like this, does that go on for a year?
Yeah.
If she's still...
You ever heard of somebody having long COVID?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That would suggest in the year 2020 they got a bad case of COVID, but they never recovered, and here it is 2025.
Okay.
And the term they use in medicine, they call it viral reservoir. If the immune system is not able to robustly rise to the occasion and drive the infection from the cells or the tissues wherever it's located, it just hangs on forever.
Well, they've told this child that there's no cure for this.
Well, I would say I wouldn't listen to that. That's their opinion, and that I have no value for that.
Sure, I know, and that's, you know,
I mean, to me, that's almost like a worthless comment. so much for having a good bedside manner and giving a person a lot of hope, right?
I know.
Well, there's plenty
to her. Yes.
Well, so those are things that I would look at, and of course, this is radio.
Okay.
I can't like examine her over the radio.
I know.
So we have to, even if what I'm saying doesn't make sense, I mean, she can't go the rest of her life just being chronically exhausted. No, she needs to get married and have a family and have a great life serving God, making the world a better place. Her destiny is not being in a nursing home the rest of her life because she has severe exhaustion. We have to find a way to get the body back in good repair. Or maybe that's what I should have said to begin with. Do you believe that God has designed the body in such a way that it can repair itself and it can heal?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And so sometimes that's what a doctor's job is really supposed to be. They're supposed to remove each and every obstacle to healing. Now, I'm not trying to be difficult here, but if I were to review her labs, I bet you anything, we'd hit the nail right on the head and figure it out pretty quick. I ask every person, did your doctor or nurse thoroughly go over your blood work with you? You know what I hear 90% of the time? No.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
They now, hand you a report.
Okay, so if this is me, she's been injured. I just don't know if she has a retrovirus living inside of her. I don't know if it's Epstein-Barr, but I can tell you this. If I wanted to find just one single way that I could totally wreck a young woman where she just can't ever do anything, it would be Epstein-Barr. That's the one that's also associated with what's called chronic fatigue syndrome. So sure, they've given a real clever, you know, acronym. She's got POTS. But that doesn't tell us what's causing it. It just is making an observation. If I said that you're anemic, okay, yay, I'm brilliant. You're low in iron. But it doesn't tell me the reason why your iron's low. It could be a lot of factors. It could be maybe you have severe excessive bleeding every month when you have your cycle and you lose more blood than what you can replace. It could be something like that. Or what if your diet is just not providing enough nutrients to replace the blood that you lost? You see where I'm going with this. There's just a lot of moving parts.
Yes.
But I would look at what's called her adrenal glands, because it's literally the job of the adrenal glands to maintain your blood pressure from the laying position to the sitting to the standing, or if you squat down to the ground, stand back up quickly. If the adrenal glands are doing their job properly, you're not going to have a heart racing and you're not going to black out.
Okay.
So we just have to, that's what the doctor is supposed to do, or the nurse. Pinpoint exactly where the problems are originating from. I like what the old school doctors, they used to call that the focus. Where's the focus? Where's the root cause of the problem coming from? And so until you tell me something different, my gut instinct says, here's what we need to look for. Is she eating anything that's counterproductive to removing a viral infection? Does she have a viral infection? I don't know. I mean, if her lymphocytes are high and her neutrophils are low, if her monocytes are high, if her white blood cell count's low, those are all kind of classic of a chronic viral load that's not going away. And you'll feel horrible every day. So we just have to figure out what's causing it. Don't listen to what they're telling you. That's just a waste of time. Sorry, I'm not trying to be rude or critical, but that's just totally worthless information. Oh, there's nothing we can do. Get used to it the rest of your life. You'll never have a life again. That's worthless. Don't listen to that.
I know.
Listen to the truth. She can be healed and restored, but we have to address all these different issues. And so I'm sure they've done, like, basic blood work. I'm just willing to bet that none of it's normal, and it gives us powerful clues as to what's not working right. But that could be a starting point. What's her degree in, by the way?
She is, she does facials.
Okay.
So.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
She's into healing then. She wants people to have beautiful, glowing, clean skin.
Yes, and she's very good at it, and she loves what she does. So,
hey, I've got an idea.
Okay.
If I could tell you something would heal her, would she be obligated to give you free facials the rest of your life?
She already gives me a Mimi discount.
I really didn't think that through. I was trying to hit a home run for you. No, there's got to be a way that we can address this. That's why, do you know what the drug called Tamiflu is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, supposedly, even though maybe you've never heard this before, Tamiflu is made of an acid called shikimic acid. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Shikimic acid. And so, for example, there's a... here I am wasting your time. Next door to me for a long time, there used to be called the Peacock Crate Company. And they had all these sweet gum trees out there with the water sprinklers on them, just keeping them watered down because they were making baskets and crates. And that's what sweet gums are useful for. And I thought to myself, finally, somebody found something that a sweet gum is good for. Because, you know, when you walk across your lawn, there's sweet gum balls everywhere. You're going, man, this is like a nightmare. But that's what the Indians used to do. They would take and they would boil the sweet gum balls when there was a horrible viral infection that couldn't be cured. Because that's what Tamiflu is for. It contains shikimic acid. So sweet gum balls, they probably have 20 times more shikimic acid than Tamiflu does. So the number one medical remedy of all time to treat a viral infection that won't go away, or the flu, would be Tamiflu. But you could get the same from sweet gum. Or, if I'm not mistaken, if you went out to your yard and you raked up some dried pine needles, and don't tell me you don't know what a pine needle is. They're everywhere around here.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have pine trees at your house?
I do.
Okay, so the dried needles, that's what Indians used to use when somebody got sick and couldn't get well. They would make pine needle tea. And I'm guessing what they were getting is the shikimic acid, the very thing that the medical profession wants to charge you an arm and a leg for if you're sick. It's probably free at your house, isn't it?
It is. God's creation is wonderful.
So I would, if I were guessing right now, I'm going to guess three or four different things. Number one, she's probably very run down and depleted, and we have to find out where is she depleted and how can we support her, which means we need to start feeding her the nutrients that her immune system is desperate to consume. And for all I know, she might be very low in iodine. That's just another guess that I have.
Okay,
the next thing, and I know I'm being simple, but most likely her adrenal glands, they are gone cattywampus. They're not working right at all.
Okay.
That's where nature comes into the story. Either you rely on drugs. So what we'll do is we'll start putting her on massive rounds of antidepressants, things like that, to change the way that she feels. We'll turn her into a zombie where she has no emotions or they're very blunt and she doesn't feel anything. You know, that's a good strategy, isn't it? Or we can start giving her things in nature that prevent, you know, viruses from growing, like rutin, something like that. There's just a lot of ways to look at this, but...
Okay.
Anyway, I hope I've given you, like, sort of a direction.
You definitely have, and I appreciate it so much.
You're welcome.
And we will... Yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. I sure do hate that for the little 20-year-old girl. She's got her whole life ahead of her, and she needs to be able to have a body that serves her well, that's in great working order. Even if you're 61, you do too. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan, and thank you for your program.
You're sure welcome.
I do have a question this morning.
Of course.
I do have a question. My husband has been living with gout. Would you tell me what natural thing we could do to help him with the gout?
Okay, well, this is primarily his kidneys are not working worth a flip.
Okay, so what do we do from here?
So if you go to Chicken Express and get a gallon of sweet tea, that would be the way to make the gout worse.
Yes, sir.
So black tea has absolutely the highest known amount of uric acid in it. Does he drink tea at all?
He loves tea, but he's trying. He had a pancreatic cancer last year and had surgery, and so he turned out to be he has to use insulin now. So he's not real strict with his diet.
Well, then I'll just tell you, and I'll leave the rest of it up to him and his level of motivation. So black tea, pork, and sugar are going to be the things that are going to be most predictive for gout or uric acid crystals forming that lead to gout. Most likely his kidneys are completely gunked up and dirty and full of uric acid. So when the blood sugar, when the fasting blood sugar is above, you say, 105, it's going to be pretty hard to get gout under control. So that's where his diet could come in handy. I'm sure his doctors just recommended that he eat, you know, a lot of vegetables and eat berries and a little bit of meat and seafood. When I say seafood, I'm thinking about salmon, not shrimp. Shrimp would probably make it a little bit worse. Does he exercise every day? Because that would be a good way of clearing all that stuff out.
No, sir, he doesn't exercise. He's had a bad ankle.
Sure.
He's had a bad ankle for about 50 years from sports injury, and it's just become worse over the years. So,
ma'am, you can't
walking, no.
You can't claim that because he's only 51. You mean he had a sports injury when he was 1 year old?
Probably, yes.
Okay. Well, the answer that you want is celery seed extract. That's what you want, because that would take no effort on his part to take celery seed extract. It's probably one of the greatest remedies of all time for gout.
Wonderful.
All right.
We always love to do the natural. I do have one more question. I have been dealing with leg cramps. My goodness, I don't like those leg cramps. What can I do to prevent leg cramps?
If I only I hate to say it in the form of a supplement, but if I only had one remedy that I could use that would fulfill the cell's desire for minerals and make the cramps go away, it'd be a product called Easy Mag by Standard Process.
Easy Mag.
Yeah. Mag is just short for magnesium, but it's they grow it in an organic field from the soil, so it's not synthetic, and they just get it. So when you look at the numbers on the ball, you're going to go, how does this, this is no way it can work. There's not enough magnesium. But it works, baby. I'm telling you. So if I only had one remedy that I could give a person with horrible leg cramps, it'd be the Easy Mag.
Okay, fantastic. And would I take, just before bedtime, or when would I take
it? You can do it any way that you like. But that's a common way, just what you said. That's a real common choice. I like that one. Is that when the cramps are the worst?
I only have them at night.
Oh, well, then that's what you would. That's one thing that you could do. Put it to the test.
All right.
That maybe get some Redmond sea salt and let it some dissolve on your tongue before you go to bed. And I mean, you can't be shocked or surprised if your cramps completely go away tonight and you don't have any.
Now, I would love that. I do not like what I just, that is bad. And I don't have them all the time, but when I do start getting them, I get them frequently. And sometimes many times through the night.
Man, that's so, that's like a different form of torture than having to jump up and go, oh my goodness.
Yes.
All right, I hope that helps, ma'am.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much, and you have a blessed day.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for your call. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. I'm also a fan of eating cherries for gout. I mean, cherries, they have a compound called an anthocyanidine. And it's just an interesting anti-inflammatory flavonoid / antioxidant nutrient, something like that. But it works. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking the call.
Oh, you're welcome.
I've got a couple of questions. One, my doctor has shown me on blood tests that I've got a little high cholesterol and high blood pressure. Wants me to take some medicine for that. I'd rather do something natural. What can I do for high blood pressure and high cholesterol?
Well, like you and I have talked about many times in the past, there's a substance called rutin. If you're consistent taking that, and then you try to modify your diet, what you've got to do is you've got to try to decrease. If you just focus on meat and vegetables and berries, and you exercise consistently, like going for long walks or a technique called slow jogging. So if I only had two things to choose, I'd probably use soybean lecithin, and I would use a product that's full of buckwheat and magnesium. And that should help you if you're consistent.
Okay. And then also, what about something to eat so I'm not so hungry?
Butter.
Okay. And I haven't been eating butter,
you could literally put butter in your mouth and see, you have underlying issues that are just not, you're not getting over the hump. And so what's going to happen is if your insulin resistance remains out of control, eventually it's going to wreck your brain and you're not going to be able to remember anything. And I want you to have a brain that functions on all eight cylinders and works really, really well. And so that's where, would you say that you're very consistent at taking good care of yourself?
Try to be, yes.
Okay, then you might have to listen to your doctor and follow his recommendations.
But I'd much rather do something natural.
Well, are you consistently following natural regimens?
I exercise every day. I eat a lot of eggs, pastured eggs. And I try to eat some meat and or fish.
Do you drink alcohol at all?
Very, very little.
What does that mean?
Maybe three ounces once or twice a week.
Okay, that is very little. Well, there's got to be a glitch somewhere. So when you go to your doctor, ask him specifically, what's at the root cause of my high blood pressure and high cholesterol? And hopefully he'll be able to flesh that out for you.
Okay.
But I hope that helps.
Thank you much.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
All right, the phone number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Oh, there's another caller. Let's go to the phone lines. Well, good morning and welcome to the program.
Morning, Dr. Morgan. I heard you talk about the lady about the Easy Mag.
Yes, ma'am.
Would that also help with restless legs?
Yes, ma'am.
And nerves that just keep you awake?
Mm-hmm.
Is
yeah.
there anything else besides that?
Well, that's a pretty good start. I mean, everything that I'm talking about, you can put it all to the test and see if it works or if it doesn't. But I'm just mm-hmm. trying to give the cells and the tissues what they need so they can work right. And mineral.
I've been taking magnesium glycinate, but it just not really working for me.
Well, I'm not a fan of magnesium glycinate.
Okay.
I think it kind of gets the body wound up instead of calming it down.
Oh, and see, I've been reading where it helps you sleep.
Well, if it does, then it does, and I'm okay
with
that.
No, it doesn't. It's not.
Well, you know, I kind of led with the idea a while ago that salt, and that's why I read that article, that when they tried reducing mm-hmm. salt, they had the most sleep disturbances and fatigue, and they just generally felt horrible all over. And so your body needs a certain amount of salt. That's one of the reasons why if your doctor does a blood test, it'd be so easy just looking at the sodium levels. What if mm-hmm. your sodium levels were like at 136 or 137? I would say that's a pretty big deal. I wouldn't want mine being that level. So minerals, so sodium is a mineral, and chloride is a mineral, and potassium is a mineral. Mm-hmm. But that product called Easy Mag, those are just minerals that come from plants and from soil. So they're living whole food extracts. But yeah, you could do that for a restless leg very, very easy. You don't by chance use any type of artificial sweeteners, do you?
I use a one that's a combination of monk fruit and stevia.
Yeah, I would ditch that if you want your legs to feel good.
Okay.
And you know, I'm not trying to be difficult or hard, but I'm just telling you straight up, stevia is going to wreck your kidneys and wreck your body. I don't like it. Well, and you know, I've learned all these lessons the hard way. There was a time that I was really on board with stevia. But I'm beginning to think that the body just can't break it down because it's not really a real sugar. So I think it's a crystal, and those crystals can be deposited in your legs. And, man, you can just have all sorts of irritations and pains that never go away.
Well, I was looking at my fingernails. My fingernails, before you get to the white tips, they're kind of brown. And I actually was reading that could be a sign of kidney damage.
Now, what do you mean that your nails are brown? What does that mean?
The whole nail is not brown, but toward...
You mean your nail is not pink?
Not all the way down to the white, no.
You mean to the luna or the moon?
No, well, to the tip.
Okay.
They're pink till you get to the tip, and then right before the white tip, there's a kind of a brown.
Well, I know what causes that. Red Man chewing tobacco. You're getting tobacco juice all over your
finger. Oh, no, no.
You, oh, I was wrong. Ma'am, in my... Hey, there was a man behind me at the checkout the other day at the grocery store, and I knew him. He looked like a chipmunk with had 40 nuts in one cheek. I said, what are you chewing on? He said, well, it ain't chewing gum.
I promise you I have never done that.
Ma'am, if you have a habit, you need to go to Red Man Anonymous classes to break the habit. Yeah,
the closest I get is the Redmond salt, but not the tobacco.
You know what? I think I could approve of that instead of chewing tobacco.
Mm.
You know what? You've got nothing to lose if you say that your legs are restless and they have this hyper-excitable nerve tension in there. Why don't you try the Redmond Sea Salt, sucking on it right before you go to bed and try the Easy Mag. Yes, there's a bunch of other things that can be done. I mean, I'm pretty famous for telling people, have you tried using plenty of cod liver oil to get rid of them or cramps?
Well, I take 2 capsules twice a day.
I don't think that's enough, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, I think
you know, people tend to live a very, very long time when they have, when they test their omega-3 fatty acids in the red blood cell membrane. And when you start hitting 8 to 10, you do really well. When you hit 12, you're just almost like bulletproof health-wise. So you can even take a drop of your blood and send it to the laboratory, and they can measure your omega-3s. And if they come back at 4, which is what the typical American is, then your health's going to suffer. So I don't really know where you are and if you don't do that, but 2 may not be enough, in my opinion. Only my opinion.
And eat more salmon. I love salmon. So, okay.
Well, aren't you in Alaska right now fishing for salmon?
No.
Oh, man,
I don't want to be there, but I'd like some fresh salmon.
That does sound good, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, keep eating the salmon. That's a very good choice.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome. Thank you. I wish you the very best. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, or there's a phone line officially open, that's 903-589-8507. Well, I, for one, if I could vote, I would like to be in Alaska right now. But I'm going to use my Zebco 33 with 6-pound test line, and I think I'm going to aim for like a 50-pound halibut. You think I can get him in? Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Oh, you're going to tell me all about how your husband's turned his health around, right?
Exactly. Hey, real quick question. I had to have shoulder surgery. My, what's it called, supraspinatus muscle or tendon was tearing off the bone. So, anyway,
oh, dear. Well, I hate that for you.
Oh, you and me both. I had to do that at the end of January. And recovery, we know, is long and hard. But, boy, is it... I can't seem to get the muscles to grow in that arm. It just... I don't know. I still have a lot of discomfort, especially during sleeping. So now it's leading to... I've got hip issues because my shoulders hurt. And I don't know. Maybe it's just my joints. So what can I do to kind of give myself some relief, especially for sleeping? You know, I sleep on my side, so I toss and turn because I can't really sleep on one and I can't sleep on the other.
Well, let me cover this from several different angles. There was a study years ago that showed that people that smoke cigarettes every day, they have absolutely the poorest healing when it comes to tendon repairs.
Good thing I don't do that.
Okay, so we're scratching this. That has no relevance to you whatsoever.
I don't smoke or drink. You know,
What? What a good example for everyone else to follow. Okay, that was really just a joke. Here's the serious one right here. Years ago, there was a study where people had, I'm just going to say on-the-job injuries or a car accident, but they had broken legs. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you do with a person when both legs are broken? I mean, you're going, well, we're not going to put them on an exercise bike or a treadmill, or they're not going to swim.
Right.
Their legs are broken. So what they did was they did a study, and I don't know that I remember it exactly. This might have been 30 years ago. But all they had people do was just use dumbbells. And they took them through an upper body weight training. Now, I'm not saying that for you. I'm saying the reverse for you. What you should be doing is you should be doing lunges and squats, negative isotonic contractions of your hips and your gluteus and your hamstrings. You should be doing foot exercises. So if you want your shoulder to heal, then we've got to increase so much more blood flow, because your blood is one of the most unique, complicated organ systems in the body. If it's not moving fast enough, then you can't have a chance to wash away the inflammation. Now, personally, if it was me, a shoulder surgery would be a major, major surgery. I don't think of that as being a minor one.
No.
So what you can do is you can go online to YouTube maybe, and you can type in what would be the very best spine and hip and knee and foot mobility exercises that I could do every day for the purpose of trying to get my body to heal. Now, the flip side of the coin is, if you were 15 years old, none of this would ever happen, because your body would be loaded with zabillions of stem cells. Stem cells are part of... What now?
No, you're right.
Stem cells are part of the repair mechanism of the body. So even though this is rarely talked of, we have an immune system, we have a digestive system, we have a nervous system, musculoskeletal. But how often do you hear somebody talk about this is the repair shop for the body? It fixes everything that's broken. Those are stem cells. And so as a person ages, they have fewer and fewer stem cells. Now, there is a procedure or a topic called fasting, where you don't eat.
Right.
Fasting is going to be one of the most incredible ways that you can tap into helping your body increase the release of stem cells. So I don't have any magic way of looking at your labs to find out what your true condition is.
But well, I would go to the doctor in just a couple of weeks.
But if you, here's what I do know. If you had your surgery in January, and tomorrow's June the 1st, I would say things aren't going well.
That's how, they think I'm going great because I have full movement, but I'm still weak. I'm only up to 3 pounds in that one arm. And maybe, you know, they say it's a year surgery recovery. And, but it's the ache. It's the muscle ache. It feels like the bicep.
Why don't you make a poultice with some freshly grated ginger root and mix it with castor oil and just tape it or put some gauze over it and make that poultice and put it right over the area where you have the most severe pain and see if you don't wake up tomorrow morning a different person.
Okay. That sounds very doable. I do walk 3 times a day, the dogs, and I've done it since the day, basically 2 days after surgery.
Okay.
So I've kept that up.
That's not going to build any strength, though. You do know that, don't you?
No, exactly. So I'm allowed, you know, now to go to the gym. But I never thought of leg exercises. I kept thinking, oh my gosh.
It's the largest muscle group in the body. If your fortunes will rise or fall based on the strength of your legs.
Okay. Super. Because I just kept thinking, what machines are light enough for me to move for my arm?
We need to use your body. We don't need a machine. We just need the weight of your body.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. And then
wonderful.
What you eat. Okay, good. I hope that helps a lot.
Now, that does. Is there any other supplements I can take? I've kind of gotten on the
Well, for example, if you're low in what's called vitamin D or B12, then you're going to experience a lot more atrophy, which means the muscles are kind of shriveling up and they're weaker. So that's one thing that you could look at also. And of course, the body's demands for protein, I can only imagine that yours are very, very great right now, and I don't have any way of knowing. If you go to your simple lab test, look at the protein levels. If it's below 7.5, there may be a possibility you're not getting enough protein.
Okay.
And that's what tendons are made of.
Okay. You said a few people ago, and I can't remember what they were talking about, was if you were above a 10 or below a 5. And
I don't
anyway,
know.
I was, yeah, I'll have to go back and think about it. Anyway,
are you talking about how you talking about how I rate people seeing that I see at Walmart?
No.
That person's a 10, that one's a 5. I'm talking about the human being category. Yeah, I'm not even sure if they're 100% human. They might be 20% human.
I need to get you a pair of blinders.
You know what happened to me? I know it's horrible. I literally I turned around and there was a man behind me. I think his name was Sasquatch. I've never seen a hairier man in my life. It startled me. I thought I was Aww. In the zoo with a gorilla for a second. So anyway, I hope that helps you.
These will, and I get my blood work done in 2 weeks, so I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. She forgot to tell me about her husband. Well, rats. I wonder if she did that on purpose. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. You know, this is just the way it is. Wait, let's go to the phone lines. That's going to be so much more important. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. This is your auctioneer, Colonel Orvin Smith, and I'm going to invite you to go to Alaska on July the 11th through the 13th. We're having a big revival there at the radio station, KJNP, King Jesus, North Pole, Alaska. So if you want to fly up there with us, you got to invite.
The North Pole?
Yep. North Pole, Alaska.
Right. How many people do you expect to be there?
The natives are going to be coming into Fairbanks for this rally at the radio station. So there will be a lot of people, a lot of the native people coming in from the villages.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be a rendezvous with friends that I hadn't seen in a long time. So if you got a hankering to go to Alaska like you just talked about, you got an invite.
Oh, thank you so much. How much does a plane ticket cost?
I'm still checking on that. I'm trying to round up a posse. I've got different people that wants to go. So we're trying to get a price fixed on that. But the sooner you get it, the better.
You mean, do you have your ticket yet?
No. I've got people working on it for me, but the sooner you get it, the better.
Where are you staying once you go there?
There are different sources. Motels, there's like places you can stay, like little cabins in Fairbanks.
Is that where you're staying, in a little cabin?
I hadn't got that. See, I've got a homestead in North Pole. I still have that.
Is that where you're going to stay, in your homestead?
I'm thinking about it. I hadn't decided yet. I don't have a real skookum cabin there. I've got one that would work, but it's not a real nice one.
I mean, you've got to spread your gold nuggets out somewhere so they can dry in the sun, right?
Well, no. I'm serious as a heart attack on that. I'm trying to see if I could get a plane, fly up to Bettles, where I lived up above the Arctic Circle for 7 years. And that's where the gold is, I've told you about, in the river of the Koyukuk.
I'm going to need the exact GPS coordinates.
Well, it's not hard to do. Look up Bettles, Alaska, and it'll give you all the GPS and all the tourist things that happened up there. And it's a small village.
Well, I heard that a pack of mosquitoes carried off two hikers the other day, and they haven't found them yet.
Well, that's not uncommon. I've seen some people go amiss, and I've often wondered if they didn't have enough mosquito repellent.
It could happen. Unfortunately, Colonel, we're all out of time for today, but thanks so much for your phone call.
Okay, thank
you, Dr. All right, take care, buddy. Bye-bye. All right, Lord willing, I will be back this time next week for another edition of Health Essentials.